Today, Shir Masech Ksubas Daf Lamed Dalad. We will begin on Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. Daf Lamed Gimel Beis. Eight lines from the bottom of the Beir of Shmuel Tanam. Yesterday, in our previous year, we had discussed that we had this question between our Mishnah here and our Mishnah Masech Makas. In our Mishnah, we learned that somebody who's Baal HaChosoy is Chayiv Knas. Whereas the Mishnah in Masech Makas says that somebody who's Baal HaChosoy is Chayiv Malkus. And as we've been discussing extensively the rule of Kimle with the Rabbi Menei, we don't give a person two punishments, so how could we reconcile the two Mishnais? And the Gemara has offered many answers. The Gemara said that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rameya. When the Mishnah here says that when Baal HaChosoy is Chayiv Knas, it's not to mean that there is no Malkus, because our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rameya, who holds that when somebody has two punishments, Malkus and Knas, you administer both. The question was that if, and that represents the opinion of Rameya. So the Gemara asked if it represents the opinion of Rameya. So why does our Mishnah later teach us that somebody Baal Bitoy, Daloch is that he doesn't pay Knas because he's Chayiv Misa? But if we're saying the Rameya holds that he doesn't hold of Kimle with Rab Menei, so Baal Bitoy should also be Chayiv Knas, even though there's also a Chayiv Misa's Bezdin. So Gemara said there's a difference. Rameya holds that you Malkus and Knas you could give to the same person. But Misa, which is the Chiv, the punishment by Bitoy, that he doesn't hold off. Ask the Gemara from a Braisa. The Braisa says that Gonav v'tovach b'Shabbos, so Yechayiv Tashlum Ebar Chamisha. And the question is, why would you be chayiv above a chamisha? You were mechal Shabbos, and therefore somebody's mechal Shabbos is chayiv misa. And Ramey says that you pay the tashlumei above a chamisha, and now we're saying that Ramey is agreeing that by chayiv misa we don't have to pay mammon. So Gemara said that that case is referring to a situation where the tficha was done by a different individual. So it's not the same individual who's being Mechal Shabbos and also the same individual who is doing the Chvicha Mechira. And therefore, since it's not the same individual, there's no Kimlev Durab Menei. So we're learning now that the Torah speaks about two different individuals. So the Gemara begins with the Beir Shmuel Tana. How do we know that even though I did the Geneva, somebody else did the Tvicha Mechira, normally we normally say Ein Shlich L'Dvei Aveira, and here we're saying that he is Chayiv. Why is this different than the Kol HaTaira Kula? Why is this different with somebody else did the Tvicha Mechira and I should be responsible? Says Rabbi Shmo, because the Torah says V'Tvach Oy Mechara, and we learn from here L'Rabbis is a Shliach. The extra oi is extra to teach us that halacha. The Bechizki Tana, we learn that from the pasuk says Chamisha Boki Sham Tachsa Shor Va'abot Soi Tachsa Se, and that comes to teach us L'Rabbis is a Shliach, because it would have been adequate for the Torah to say Chamisha Boki Mishalom B'Shor. The fact that the Torah added the word Tachas is to teach us that the Shliach did it and the Ganef is Chayiv. Ask the Gemara. But now we have a new question. So now we're learning, if it would be the same individual who did the Geneva and the Chil Shabbos, he would actually not be Chayiv for both, because we would say Kimle B'Drabbanei. The reason here why he's Chayiv to pay is because he didn't do both. Somebody else did the Tvicha Mechira and somebody else did the Geneva. But ask the Gemara, why would have been if it was the same person who did the Geneva and also did the Shechita of the animal? then we would certainly say, says the Gemara, at this point, that we would apply the concept of Kimle b'drabbanei, and this individual would be Chayiv Misa. So ask the Gemara, Mika Midid, Ila Yavid Ihu. If this person who stole the animal would have also been the individual who shechted the animal, Loi Mechayiv, he wouldn't be Chayiv to pay, because we would apply the concept of Kimle b'drabbanei. So now, V'ovet Shliach, and now somebody else did it, and he's going to be Chayiv, answers the Gemara, a very important understanding in the concept of Kimle b'drabbanei. It says the Gemara, when we say Kimle b'drabbanei, it doesn't mean Lav Mishum Delo Mechayiv. It doesn't mean that he's completely exonerated from the smaller punishment. We can't completely exonerate him from that punishment, because he certainly did the Aveira. The only thing is that there's a halach of Kimle b'drabbanei that says we don't administer both. But that's not like he's completely not obligated to pay for the Geneva. Just if he gets Misa, then we don't administer the obligation to pay. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't have the Chiyuv. Ask the Gemara. But now we go back to the Braisa that we quoted earlier. The Braisa said that, now we're explaining the Braisa, is that one person did the Geneva and the other person did the Tficha. And Rabbanan say, Paitrim. But ask the Gemara, if that is the case, if we're referring here to a situation where somebody else did the Shechita, and that's why this is not a case of Kimle b'drabbanei, so ask the Gemara, my time of the Rabbanan of the Patri. Why would the Rabbanan say that he doesn't have to pay? It's two different people. One did the Chil Shabbos and one did the Geneva. Answers the Gemara, man chachamim. Who are the chachamim, this Braisa, that disagree with Rav Meir? That disagree with Rav Meir? It's the opinion of Rav Shimon. And Rav Shimon holds the Shechita Shein Aruya. Rav Shimon throughout Shas is the man, the Omer, that holds a Shechita Shein Aruya, a Shechita that can't allow us to eat the meat, lo shma Shechita. So ask the Gemara, ha-tenech l'avodas kachavim, so we can understand if somebody shecht an animal for avodah zara, or somebody shecht an animal that was a shor ha-niskal, that was destined to be killed, that the halacha is that it's also b'hanoah. So that's why we can understand why it's considered Shechita Shein Aruya. And therefore, since it's not considered Shechita Shein Aruya, it's not the Shechita where the Torah says that Yechayiv Dal Vehei. But ask the Gemara, Shechita Shabbos, Shechita Ruya Hi. The meat is kosher. The Tanan HaShoich B'Shabbos will be Yom Kippurim. If somebody shechs an animal on Shabbos on Yom Kippur, Abishim Shechayiv V'Nafshoi, even though it's considered, even though he's Chayiv Misa, having be Michal Shabbos or be Michal Yom Kippur, Shechita Sikshayu, the Shechita is still kosher Shechita. So why do we call this a Shechita Shein Aruya? So Tosfos and many other Rishonim point out that the Gemara in Masechet Chulin teaches us that a Michal Shabbos b'Faresia is compared to a Mumel Chol HaTorah Kula. And the halacha is that a Mumel Chol HaTorah Kula is not allowed to shecht and a Shechita is not accepted. So ask Tosfos and other Rishonim, why would we consider this Shechita on Shabbos or Shechita Ruya? The Shechita was being done by someone who's a Mechal Shabbos. So Tosfos in Masechta Sedrin answers that a Shechit who shechts on Shabbos is not labeled as a Mechal Shabbos and a Mumer until he completes the act. So he explains the first Shechita is done by a Shabbos, Mechal Shabbos, is still going to be valid. He doesn't become disqualified until he completes the Shechita. But by the time he completes the Shechita, the animal may be eaten. The Rambam disagrees with Tosfos. He says that as soon as the Shoichet makes the incision in the neck, he's considered a Mechal Shabbos. And therefore we come back to our question. If he's considered a Mechal Shabbos, so then why would his Shechita, why would we accept his Shechita? So the Ran, according to the Rambam, explains that making a wound in the animal's neck without completing the Shechita is not considered Chil Shabbos. Because making a wound in the animal's neck is actually a destructive act. And we've discussed previously that when it comes to Chil Shabbos, the rule is Kol HaMekalkalim Paturim. If somebody does something which is a destructive act, it's not considered he was Michal Shabbos. So that's why he doesn't become a Mumer until after he finishes the Shechita. Because only when the Shechita is completed, at that point, it becomes a constructive act. And since at that point it becomes a constructive act, but it becomes Chil Shabbos. But by that time, the animal is already properly slaughtered. Answers the Gemara. But why, again, asks the Gemara, is it considered a Shechita She'en Aruya? And that's why the Rabbanan say you're not Chayif for that Shechita. The Gemara clearly indicated from the Mishnah that Shechting on Shabbos is a Shechita Ruya. Answers the Gemara, Sovel Krav Yochanan Sandler. The Tan of this Braisa agrees with the opinion of Yochanan Sandler. And the Braisa begins to discuss a very important halacha. And that is the question, if somebody was Mechalel Shabbos, what is the halacha? The Braisa teaches a Mevashel B'Shabbos. If somebody cooks food in Shabbos, B'Shoigig, if he cooked it B'Shoigig, he could eat that food even on that Shabbos. And certainly anyone else could eat that food. B'Mezid, if he did it B'Mezid, Lo Yoichel, he may never eat that food, but anybody else may. And the way Rashi explains over here, this Ramey's opinion, that this is a knas. So, first of all, Ramey holds that b'shoigig we don't make a knas, and even b'mezid, we only make the knas for the person who violated, who was Mechal Shabbos. Rabbi Yehudaimer, b'shoigig yoichel, if it was done b'shoigig, it could only be eaten l'matzah Shabbos. It can't be eaten till Matzah Shabbos. Because Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that we make a knas b'shoigig because of mezid. B'mezid, and if it was done b'mezid, lo yoichel alamis. It may never be eaten. And as Rashi explains, because Rabbi Yehuda has two elements. One is that there's a knas element, and there's another element that you're not allowed to have hanor from a chil Shabbos according to Rabbi Yehuda. And now we have the opinion, says the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler Omer, b'shoigig yoichel l'matzah Shabbos, if it was done b'shoigig, the may be eaten on matzah Shabbos. But Rashi explains, we would have to wait b'chtei shiyasu l'acherim. They would have to wait the amount of time that it would take to cook this food on Shabbos. We don't want to have any benefit from Shabbos. So we don't want even the people who weren't involved in cooking the food to be allowed to eat it until the time that it would take to cook a matzah Shabbos passes. V'loy loy. And he can't eat it ever. B'mezid lo yoichel loy lamas. But if it was done b'mezid, then no one will eat it. Loy loy v'loy acherim. There's a very interesting machloikas achroinim. Is this halacha only by mevashel? Where mevashel, you change the food. You cook it, so it became from raw to cooked. But let's say you did a malacha where you didn't really change something. Is the same halacha apply? Or is it only by something like mevashel where you change the food? The Mishnah Berurah discusses this halacha, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chai Adam that says we have to treat all malacha Shabbos like mevashel. Now the Gemara continues. Why is Rabbi Yochanan Sandler so strict? My time, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, answers the Gemara. The pasuk says, "Shematas Hashabbos ki kodesh shilochem." We have to recognize the Shabbos as kodesh. So we learn ma kodesh osabachila. We know certainly that anything that is kodesh is osabachila. The pasuk is teaching us, says Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, that everything af Masa Shabbos is sur b'achila. So, continues Rav Chia, if we're going to make this comparison, e ma kodesh osba no af Masa Shabbos ought to be osba no tamalayim kodesh yilochem shilchem yehei. The Torah says that even though I'm not allowing you to eat it, I'm not making it osba no yochal afilu b'shoigig, that even if it was done b'shoigig, it should not be allowed to be eaten. Tamalaymer, the pasuk continues saying mechaleh mos yumas. The pasuk mechaleh mos yumas is obviously in a case where it was b'mezid. We don't kill somebody for being mechal Shabbos b'shoigig. So here we learn b'mezid amarti l'cha for loy b'shoigig. So now according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, if somebody shecht an animal on Shabbos, it's not allowed to be eaten ever. That's why it's a shechita she'en aruya. But says the Gemara, since the Gemara mentioned Maisa Shabbos, the Gemara speaks about this halacha briefly. Says the Gemara, Pligaba Ravacha Ravina, Charam Maisa Shabbos Daraisa, that according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, this that we're not allowed to eat something that was cooked on Shabbos is a din daraisa. The Charam, it's a din darabonon. Says the Ramandam daraisa, Kramoran. Then we could understand why, because Rabbi Yochanan Hassandler quoted a hekesh between Kodesh and Shabbos. And just like Kodesh certainly is Osab HaNoah Midaraisa, so too is Osab HaChila Midaraisa, so too will Maisa Shabbos be. However, Manda Omer Midrabanon, Omer Kra Kodeshi, so he learns that Midaraisa, the Pasuk is teaching us that he Kodesh, the Shabbos itself, is Kodesh, famous Sa Kodesh. But ask the Gemara, if we wanted to say that the Braisa is following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, who says Maisa Shabbos are also Midaraisa, and therefore the Tficha that was done, the Shechita that was done in Shabbos, is a Shechita Sheneruya. But ask the Gemara, according to the opinion that we just quoted, Lamanda Midrabanon, that it's only also Midrabanon. But Midaraisa, it's a Shechita Ruya. So then why would Rabbanon say you're not chai for that Shechita? It's a Shechita Ruya. My Tamad Rabbanon, the Patri. Answers the Gemara, we have to now modify our understanding of the opinion of the Rabbanon. Ki Kapatri Rabbanon, when did the Rabbanon say in that Braisa that you're not chai for the Shechita? That's only by a Shara Niskel, or when somebody Shechted for Avodah Zarah. But a Shara. But indeed, if somebody shechted on Shabbos, and it was one person that did the Geneva, and another person did the Shechita, the Rabbanon in that case would agree with Rabbi Meir that the person who was Mechal Shabbos will be Mechayiv Misa, and the person who did the Geneva will be Chayiv to pay for the Geneva. So we had here a very fundamental discussion about Maisa Shabbos. If somebody, what is the halacha about something that was done on Shabbos involving Chil Shabbos? And I saw that the Achronim have a question that comes up in Israel. And that is that if there's a factory that's open on Shabbos and prepares food or different things with Chil Shabbos, what is going to be an halacha? Are we allowed to eat from that food, benefit from things that were done on Chil Shabbos? So the Stipler discusses this question, and he says that any factory that's open on Shabbos is also to eat from that food. And he says that even though we just learned in our Gemara, that he gives a number of points. Number one, he says we just learned in our Gemara, that's a machlokes. And according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the people who didn't do the Chil Shabbos, it's not also for them. Certainly, according to Rabbi Meir, ever. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, Bechdei Shiyasu. So why are we being so strict? So the Stipler wants to suggest that even though we have these Tanoim that are more lenient than Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, and it seems from the Mishnah Berurah that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, even these Tanoim are going to agree that in a place where it involves a Chil Shabbos Beferesia, a public Chil Shabbos, we have to be stricter. And that's what's involved when there's a business that's open. He also points out that religious Jews using product that was produced with Chil Shabbos represents a Chil Hashem. And therefore, that's a consideration. And then he adds a third element. He says there's an element of Messiah Day Over Avera. If the business which is open on Shabbos knows that the religious people are anyway going to buy his product, so he won't have any deterrent from keeping his business open on Shabbos. But if he knows that the religious population that's careful with halacha is not going to buy his product, that will serve as a deterrent for him to not keep his factory open on Shabbos. So by us not doing that, by us continuing to buy his product with Messiah de Avera, we're helping him in his, we're sort of indirectly participating in his Chil Shabbos. The Gemara says that if somebody was Teveich Leivet Kachavim, one person stole the animal, and the second person shechted it for avodah zarah, the person who stole it will be chayiv darbav v'chamisha. Ask the Gemara, but why? Kivin the shachar b'purta, as soon as he made a minimal incision in the animal, it's a lay. The behemoth becomes also b'hanah because it becomes an animal of avodah zarah. Idach kitavach, we know in order for an animal to be kosher, you have to shech both simonim. Here, by the time you shech the second simon, lav the marika tavach, it became the behemoth of avodah zarah. And since at that point it became the behemoth of avodah zarah, it's not considered that you shechted an animal of someone else that you should be chayiv for it, dal v'hei. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Baima Begmaz Vichu Oivda. That the person, yes, under normal circumstances, when you shecht an animal for Avodah Zarah, the initial incision is what makes it Asur. But if you have in mind that it shouldn't become Asur until after you complete the Shechita, it won't become Asur until you finish the Shechita. And since it won't become Asur until you finish the Shechita, so that's why the already chayiv for dal v'hei. Shara nisko, we also learned that if somebody shechted a shara nisko, then he's chayiv dal v'hei. But ask the Gemara, shara nisko, lav the dehu, the katavach. It doesn't belong to anybody, because it's osa b'hano. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, hachamai skin k'shemasru l'shoimer. Before this animal became a shara nisko. Why does an animal become a shara nisko? Because it did damage. And Beis Din paskin that it has to be killed. So says the Gemara, Kegon shemasru l'shoimer, he gave it to the animal before it did damage. So hizik v'beis ha-shoimer. And while it was under the shoimer's watch, it did damage. V'nigma deimer beis shoimer, and when it's under the shoimer's watch, the animal was taken to Beis Din, and Beis Din declared that it has to be killed. It becomes osu b'hanah. V'gon of gavam beis ha-shoimer. And now somebody stole it from the Beis Shomer. So now the question is, did he steal something of value from the Shomer's home? Or is what he stole have no value because already Beis Din already paskin that it must be killed? Says the Gemara, Mei Savol Krab Yaakov, the Savol Krab Shimon. Savol Krab Yaakov, the Omer, Af Mishenig Medinoi, Hegzir Shomer Lebal of Muxer. This animal is certainly also Bahanal. But the halacha is that if I'm watching something for somebody else, when does my responsibility end? When I return it to the owner. So if I had this animal that I was the shomer, for this animal, and it became also b'hanah because it did this kind of damage while it was under my control. And now the time comes for me to return it to the owner. So I did my responsibility. I returned the animal that I was supposed to return. Is that acceptable? Or could the owner say to me, you're returning to me an animal that is worthless. It's also banah. It was sentenced to death. So Rabbi Yaakov's opinion is that it's considered that I did my job, that I returned what I was supposed to return. And therefore, I returned it. So now if somebody steals it from me, he's causing me a real loss, because the loss that he's causing me is that I now have to go find another animal to give back to the owner. And Rav Shimon's opinion is that Dava Gairim Lamamin Kimamin Dami. Rav Kivega points out that once the Gemara gave this explanation, the question that it asked in the previous piece of Gemara regarding the animal of Avodah Zarah could have been explained this way as well. Rava goes back to the beginning. Going back to the beginning of the Braisa, where somebody stole an animal, shechted in a Shabbos, Rameya says that he's chayif both for the Chil Shabbos and the Dal V'hei, and Rabbanan disagree. And as we said at the beginning of our Shir, the question is, if that's the opinion of Rameya, we see that he doesn't even hold a Kimle but Rabmanei by Misa B'dei Adam and Mammon. Says Rabbi Toivecha Idei Atzmai. Rameya loikim shalom islay. Rameya indeed holds that you could pay and have to get a malchus. Meisim shalom laslay. He doesn't hold that we say Kimlei the Rabbi Meir under these circumstances. So if that's the case, why over here does he hold that you have both chiyuvim? Shani here, hani the chiddush hu the chiddush haTorah b'knas. In other words, as the Chasam Sofer explains, that it's not that knas is a chiddush. He says because every punishment in the Torah is a chiddush, because the Torah says that these are the punishments that should be given, and whenever the Torah gives a punishment, that's what the Torah is teaching us. He's saying that there's a chiddush that was said regarding knas, that even though b'kala Torah kula we apply the concept of kimle b'drabanei, by knas it's different. But afgav the mikta mashalim, even though the person is going to get misa for being mechal Shabbos, he still has to pay the knas. Says the Gemara, v'as the Rabbi Tamei, Rabbi is following his opinion that we learned elsewhere. The Rabbi says that we see the Rabbi holds that knas is different, and by knas you have both obligations. Damar Rabbi, ha'yigdi ganavloi. If somebody stole a goat before Shabbos, so now he has to pay keren. He has to pay back the animal or the kefil. And then, a tafcha b'Shabbos. And he shechted that animal on Shabbos. Now, he has to pay the knas as well. Shekva the nesai b'geneva. This is easy. Because the chiv geneva and the chiv chil Shabbos did not come at the same time. And as we've learned many times, we only apply the concept of kimlev the rabbinay when both obligations come simultaneously. But here, says the Gemara, Shekva Neschai B'Geneva Kodim Shavu L'Day Yisra Shabbos. The Geneva was before Shabbos, and the Chil Shabbos was on Shabbos. But, continues Rabba, Gone of a Tavah for Shabbos, he did both the Geneva and the Shechita for Shabbos, Potter. And then he won't have to pay. And he won't have to pay the Dal V'Hei. Shemen Geneva, if there is no Geneva, because he doesn't have to pay the Keren, Ain Tvich V'Mechira. And here the Torah says, and here, you don't have to pay for the Geneva, because the Geneva is not a knas. The Geneva is mammon. And mammon, we do say kimle de ramene, so therefore you don't have to pay the knas as well. But if it was purely knas, then Rabbi would say, you have to pay both. Vam Rabbi, hayigdi ganavlo, another case. Somebody went into a home and stole a goat. The tafchay b'machteres, but he shechted the animal while he was hiding. He has to pay dal v'hei. Now let's think about it. The chiyuv above machteres. The halacha is that if somebody sneaks into somebody's house, he could be killed. So he's a chayiv misa, and he also is now being told to pay dal v'hei. But we said that we say kimle b'drabmenei, and he can't be chayiv misa and dal v'hei. The answer is, here the Geneva took place before the Machteres. And since the Geneva took place before the Machteres, so the Geneva and the Machteres don't come at the same time, we don't say Kimalei the Rabbanei. But, continues Rabba, Gone of a Tavach with Machteres, if he did the Geneva and he did both the Geneva and the Shechita with Machteres, Potter. Shem ein Geneva, ein Tvich v'Mechira. At the moment of Geneva, he's chai for the Karen. When he shechts it, he's also chai misa. But when he shechts it, it goes up because of the tficha to dal vehei. But he's not going to be chai dal vehei because the Karen is potter. And the Torah never subscribes gimel v'dalad. So again, we see from here that if that's the reason why he's potter, but if it would be purely knas, he could be chai misa and he could be chai misa and chayiv knas, and we won't say kimle b'drabanei. So, says the Gemara, we've just learned two halachas that teach us the exact same concept. And the Gemara's question is, why do we need to have two concepts to teach us the same halacha? Says the Gemara, tzricha. The Yashmin in Shabbos, if we would have only learned the halacha regarding Shabbos, Mishum de Sura Isra Olam. Whenever somebody is going to come and say that this person was Mechal Shabbos, we will sentence him to death. There's no limitation to this. A person who's Mechal Shabbos B'mezid and is tried and sentenced in Bezdin, he'll be chayiv for that forever. Ava Machteres, this is Shahu. Yes, as we explained a moment ago, if somebody comes into someone's home smuggles himself into someone's home, the owner of the home has the right to kill him because he's bar machteris. But that's only as long as he's in bar machteris. When he comes out of the machteris, when he comes out of the tunnel, he's not chiyuv meisa. Via al machteris, this is shahu, emeloi. We won't consider that a real chiyuv meisa. A chiyuv meisa is a chiyuv meisa that could come forever. This is a chiyuv meisa that has a very small window, and therefore that's not the chiyuv meisa maybe where we say kimoi with the rabbinate. To kill someone who's bomb machteris, even though as we often quote in our shiurim, the halacha is that you have to give a person warning. Bomb machteris you could kill without warning. Because when somebody smuggles himself into someone's house, he's opening himself up to get killed. He knows that the owner may do whatever he's going to do in self-defense. Avul Shabbos, the bias raw, emrloi. Maybe in that case we'll say it's not the same. Maybe in that case we'll say that we don't say kimle of the rabbinay. That's why tzricha. That's why we have to say both of these halachas to teach us this concept. Amra papa, hoisa para genuvaloi. If somebody stole a para, utafcha b'Shabbos and he shechts on Shabbos, chayiv, he's chayiv for paying. But if somebody borrowed an animal and then he shechted on Shabbos, so until he actually shechts it, even though he borrowed the animal belongs to its owner. So here the geneva and the chil Shabbos came together. So that's what we say, kimelev the rabbinay. Omele revach b'reid ravel ravashi v'rapapa paras l'shminin. What was the chiddush in this halacha that we say kimle with the rabbinay when somebody's chayv misa moment? Isn't that an obvious halacha that everyone knows? Amalei, so Rav Ashi responded, Rapapa shula aslashmin. Rapapa is coming to teach us a halacha regarding the borrowed animal. Sakadat chamina hoyal va amra papa. B'shash mashicha hu de chayv lemim zanasehop. From the moment that the person borrows the animal, from that moment forward, he became responsible. He became responsible for that animal. So maybe that's why I would say hachinami b'shashel eschayev benutzei. If something happens to an animal, he becomes responsible from that moment, and therefore it's considered that it became his from before Shabbos, and therefore it's not that the chil Shabbos and the geneva came at the same time, because the chiv. We would say differently, Kamash Malon, that since as long as the animal is alive, I can return the animal. The animal is not considered mine. It only becomes mine when I shecht it. And that means that the Geneva and the Chil Shabbos came at the same moment. And that's why we say Kimelev Rabbanei. Amarova. Hanich Lamavim Parashula. Yisoimim were left an animal that was borrowed by their father, and the father died. The halacha is that they can continue using it as long as the term of the lending continues. And as the Rishonim point out, even though throughout halacha we learn stam halvah l'shloishim yoyim, that's when somebody borrows money. When somebody borrows money, if there is no time set, we assume it to be 30 days. But when it's a para, when you borrow something, then the halacha is, there's a term. And the halacha is that the term will be whatever the term the father had with this lender. Mesa, if the animal dies, be oinus, ein chayavim be oinsim. Because when is a shoyl chayif oinsim, say the rishonim, when he accepted upon himself to be a shoyl. This individual did not accept upon himself to be a shoyl. And therefore, the chiyuv of oinus that is applicable to every shoyl will not be applicable to these yorshim. However, says the Ritva, that even though the Gemara is saying they won't be chayiv for oinsim, they will be chayiv for geneva v'aveda. Ksvurim shalavim hi, they weren't aware that this animal didn't belong to their father. And that's why v'tavchu v'chluah, and they shechted it and ate it. Mishalmim demei bos bezul. They only pay 2/3 of the value of the animal, and the hide of the animal has to be returned to the owner. Hinich l'mavim achrayis nechosim. But now the brisa, now Rava ends with one statement, that if the father left them over real estate, then the halacha changes, and chayavim l'shalim. But the question is, this new condition that was set at the end of this rule, that if the father left them real estate, then it changes, which halacha of Rava does that refer to? Ikad maslei areisa, that is going back to the reisha, that we said that the reisha, that they're not responsible for einsim, tells us the brisa, that tells us the halacha, that if the father left them real estate, they will be responsible. Vikad the masnul sefer, and some say it's going to the sefer when they shechted the animal. We said they only have to pay bay masa bezol, which we said they only have to pay 2/3 of the value. But if the father left them real estate, that would not be the halacha. They would have to pay the whole value. Says the Mar, man the masnul reisha, the one that says that if the father left them real estate, they have to pay for the whole value. Certainly, in the case where they bought it and the father left them real estate, they have a very strong responsibility. And he'll disagree with Rapapa, because Rapapa says that he isn't responsible. He says that the responsibility for any oinus is not, he holds, only happens at the time when it was the oinus happened. And at that point, the father's assets are not responsible because the father's not alive anymore. And their assets were never obligated for any oinsim. Umanda maslan sefer, aval reisha loy, but a reisha, they'll never be chayiv for oinsim, even if the father left them assets, because Rapapa says somebody else's assets are not my assets, even if I yashin them, but if I did not own those assets at the time, I will not be chayiv for anything that happens. There's an interesting question in the Paiskim, in this case that the Gemara just described. What will be the halacha if they lent this animal to someone else? Will the halachas that we just learned in the Gemara apply, or it's only the children themselves that have this halacha, not anyone else? And actually, I saw that the Achronim, the Nesivis, and other Achronim actually break it down to three categories. There are children who are supported by the father. There are children who are children but are not supported by the father. And then there are others who weren't yarshim of the father. And it seems others who are not the yarshim of the father, there's a stronger reason to make them responsible. Because you can't say that it's an extension of the Shela when they weren't the ones that borrowed it. There are others that say the Gemara didn't make any such distinction, and therefore the halacha is that we're chayiv. So we just learned, at a certain point you are, at a certain point you're not responsible for oinsim that happened. There's a very interesting Shaila that the Cheshukei Chemer discusses. He discusses where somebody put his garbage bag out in front of his apartment. And I'm his neighbor, and as I walk out from my apartment, I see the garbage bag is there, and I take the garbage bag to the garbage outside, and it's ultimately taken away by the sanitation department. In this home, where this garbage bag was put out in front of the door, they realize that the woman of the home is missing her rings. And she comes to recognize that she took off her rings and put it on the table to go wash, and she never put back the rings. And after never put back the rings on her fingers. And after the meal, they just rolled up the disposable tablecloth and threw it out. And now they want to quickly run to the garbage bag, which is by the door, to retrieve the rings. And when they come, they see that this garbage bag was taken down by the neighbor and already taken away by the sanitation. These people are very upset at the neighbor, and they come to say to him, you're responsible for the ring. And as the Shaila is presented, The issue is not here that he doesn't believe them. He believes them when they say there was a ring in the bag. The issue on the discussion here is he responsible? On one hand, there's a concept of Adam Mu'ud La'olam. A person is always responsible for what he does. And here too, even though he certainly had no bad intention, the halacha is that maybe he should be chayiv because Adam Mu'ud La'olam. So he quotes a machloikus of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. When something is in the category of an oynus gomer, the Chayshe Mishpat, Simen Shin Ayin Ches, Sef Aleph and Beis discuss this. There's a machloikus Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch says that even by oynus gomer, Yechayiv, Adam Mu'ud La'olam. The Ramah disagrees. Another point, he quotes the Shulchan Aruch that says, Hamazik Mamon Chaveroi, if somebody did hezek to someone else, v'eni day ma hezek, nishba hanizek v'noitel. If I do damage, even though I didn't know I did damage to you, the person who was hurt makes a shvu. Okay, it's a lucky chiz chaveroi. If I took your wallet, v'shlich l'mayim l'eish, I threw it into water or fire, v'nevat, v'al kis oimer zuhuv mayim alay, and the person who owns the wallet says it was full of gold coins. V'hamazik oinem eni yedei mayim, but I didn't know what was in there. Maybe Shema offered a tarva haymelik. Maybe it was full of straw. Haray nizik nishba, the nizik swears, and he collects. Says the Shulchan Aruch, for who she had eaten dvarim, shamed bam, am amid lahafkidim etzloi. The dakim manichim b'kitzik yaitzibai. Says the Shulchan Aruch, this is only when he says something which makes sense, that there were gold pieces in my wallet. If it main darkam anichem beklize, who pasha ba'atzmai? If it's people don't leave gold pieces in garbage bags, people don't leave diamond rings in diamond bag in garment bag in garbage bags. So that's a quase. Another reason he's lenient is because the person who took the garbage down did not actually do any hezek. He didn't do anything to the ring. He just put it into the garbage dump. And now the sanitation department took it away. That is not considered a mazik. A mazik is considered when you did an act, a destructive act. Here, you don't do considered a construct. It's not considered a constructive act. It's a destructive act. And since it's not considered a destructive act, it's not considered a mazik. And therefore, he takes the approach that even though it's a terrible, unfortunate situation, the person who carried down the garbage will not be held responsible for what he did.